Numbers 22. This son? No. Numbers 22. Verse 22. We're dealing with Balaam, which we began last time. And God had told Balaam he was not to go. The Lord did not want Balaam to go as requested by Balak, who wanted to curse Israel because he was scared of them. And they were very numerous, and he feared that they would overrun his land and end up defeating him. And so others had tried military means and failed. And so Balak sought Balaam, who was something of a prophet for hire, a diviner, seer, that would curse Israel. And so they came and offered Balaam money for him to do that, to come and do it. And then Balaam, we'll talk about more in a moment, couldn't go. Verse 22. But God was angry because he was going. That means that then he decided to go because the Lord says, and on the second time, Balaam approached the Lord. Verse 20, God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men have come to call you, rise up and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you shall you do. So Balaam arose in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the leaders of Moab. But God was angry because he was going, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. He was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with a drawn sword in his hand, the donkey turned off from the way and went into the field. But Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back to the way. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path of the vineyards with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed herself to the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. The angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn to the right hand or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam was angry and struck the donkey with his stick. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? And Balaam said to the donkey, because you have made a mockery of me. If there had been a sword in my hand, I would have killed you by now. The donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden all your life to this day? Have I ever been accustomed to do so to you? And he said, no. And the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed all the way to the ground. Let's pray. Lord, your greatness is much spoken of in Scripture. We see it much in our own day. Lord, truly you are our hope, this nation and the world. And for the foolishness of men, how you will lead and bring to the end those who are your children. It will be a great day. It seems maybe in some ways a long way off, in some ways not so far. We praise you and your greatness, Lord, that you are who you are. As we gather, Lord, we seek to know you more, to understand simple things and also more complicated things. May you be our teacher, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, according to creation, you know, the 6 days of creation, which we learn in Genesis, man is the highest pinnacle of creation. When humans were made, that was the end. That was the top. Before that, plants, animals, and, you know, it was man. All the stars, all the moons, the planets, all that was a different kind of creation. When we get to man, we're told in Genesis that God created us in his image. Not bodily. God doesn't look like us. Jesus became like us in his humility. But the likeness to God that we had at that time was that we were righteous. We were like God. To be in the image of God is to be like God, to resemble God. And we didn't do it physically, we did it spiritually. God was righteous, we were righteous. We had in us a certain code of conduct. God was behind that. The way God did, God loved, we loved. God was true to his moral law, so were we. There was not sin, just as there's no sin in the Lord. And man is made that way. We have the ability to reason. We have the ability to make choices, to socialize in an intellectual way. We have the ability to draw near to God. We can pray. We're made in the image of God. We're made like God. We're made in a way that we fit with God. Angels are also sons of God in that way. They have powers we don't have. So we are in the image of God. And as such, we have a soul. Now, there's arguments as to whether what animals have in that regard. The way we are like God, we have a spiritual classification to us, a soul, that at least is different. Animals are certainly able to do great things, and we speak of a moral and a mental and a social likeness to God and being righteous. There are some areas that animals fit into that, but are not in the image of God. They make choices. Their choices are generally driven by innate sense, by certain animal passions. You know, why does our largest cat, why does she insist on being a bully? We tell her not to be a bully. That she's not in the image of us. She can't understand. She is unable to, apparently, rein that bad behavior in. Be to her benefit and the harmony of the cat nation in our home. If she would, but she won't. You can correct animals to a certain degree. Dogs will especially, you can teach them to listen to you. There's some communication between a dog and a human. There have been times that people have said that animals are actually smarter than humans. For some people, that is absolutely the case. There's no question that the way some people live their lives and act and think, that any animal you pick in the whole forest would be smarter, but not in the image of God. Men are able to communicate among themselves. Animals do that somehow. I have no doubt that the school of fish in the ocean, somehow they've communicated and they're doing their thing. Who tells these penguins to lay an egg and then cover it and sit on it and keep it off the ice for months while the other one goes off and gets food and comes back? By the time they get back, it's months later and they're still there standing there with that egg. I mean, who does all that? I mean, that's something. It really is something to see. Animals have great complexity in their actions. I couldn't weave a spider's web. You look at that in the sunlight and the dew on it, that is amazing. God has given spiders the ability to do that. He's also given them the desire to suck blood out of flies and bees, which seems worse than eating broccoli. But that's their thing. So animals have a certain sense. They can do things. A cat is born within a few months. A cat can have babies and know what to do with them and know how to bring them up and send them on their way. That's not possible with humans. It's just a different kind of creation. Animals are not sinners. Some animals are mean. Bears are out in the wild. You bring your human body out there, they'll hope you bring some salt with it because they're after that. But they're not sinners. They have no law of God they're breaking. Humans cause animals the problems that we have with them. The break there came with man's sin. They're not doing the great evils of our day. You never see them in the news as they're the ones pushing same-sex unions. They're not the ones that are blasting the Bible all the time and forsaking God. They're not doing all these crazy things that people are doing today. They're not rioting and burning buildings down because they get mad about something. It's just, there are no shootouts between them. But they're not righteous either. The absence of sin doesn't make them righteous. They're not able to practice similarity to God. See, that's part of the human nature. That's part of the image of God. We're able to please God by being like God. Animals can't do that. Animals can be sweet. They're sweet animals. But even that is not an expression of righteousness. They are their own thing. They are, in many ways, astounding. I believe if we wanted to just say wow all day long, we'd study the ways of animals. I have a couple of books that I got years ago, Sydney and I did, that talk about the animal traits and how they do and what they do. And it's amazing, just completely astounding. And God has made them with this innate sense to do all those things, even though they have fallen with us. And animals do communicate, but they don't use human language. We communicate with animals in English, human language. It's interesting to me that I know English, and I speak to our cats, and some words they pick up. If a cat or a dog had been raised by someone who spoke another language, the dog would understand that language. They're more bilingual than I am. They know dog and this French thing, or Spanish. But there's a communication there. One thing that never happens is you never get back from an animal what Balaam got back, the human language. It's not that it's not possible by the makeup of an animal. If an animal can make a sound, and we know they can, if they can alter the pitch of their sounds, and we know they can, they could theoretically converse. They don't have the mental capacity, in most cases, I would say, to string the words together to say what they wish to say, if they could talk. And we couldn't hear them anyway because we would have passed out on the first couple of words in shock. But we see something here that is very unique in Scripture. And that is that Balaam's donkey talks to him. Balaam's problem is, and what I mentioned last week, he wanted his will. He was offered money to go and curse Israel. He wanted to do it. Not because of any certain animosity toward Israel, as much as it was for prestige and honor and money. He was to be honored. And when the Lord said, "These people are blessed, do not curse them," he told the messengers of Balak that the Lord was not allowing him to go, which was hedging his bets, basically. He was not giving a strong message. He was not giving a good, strong denial. It was like he wanted to come, but the Lord wouldn't let him. And he left it open as to why the Lord wouldn't let him. The Lord wouldn't let him because the Lord had chosen not ever to curse these people, but to bless them. Balaam left that out. So that maybe Balak would think it was because he was undercutting the price and the honor, so he could come back and give him more, and then maybe he would go. And that's what Balak picked up from the messengers, so that he sent back more of an offer. Balak did not close the door. He did not say, "No, I am never, ever, ever, ever going to go with you and curse these people because God has blessed them." He could have put it into it right there, but he did not, because he left an opening. People who are wanting something from you, if you leave an opening, they'll keep trying to open that opening. If a girl despises a young man, just cannot stand the look of him, and he comes to her one day and says, "Will you honor me by being my bride?" She can't stand it. Is she going to use indefinite language? Is she going to say something like, "Not today"? "Not today" may mean tomorrow, may mean tonight to this guy. She's going to say something like, "Never in 100 zillion trillion years. Something to definitely close the issue. Balaam did not, because he still wanted to be allowed to go and curse the people and gain the honor. He did say something that sounded righteous when they came back the second time, because he didn't shut the door the first time. And he said something the first time, "I can't do anything unless God allows me." And the next time he said, "Let me go ask the Lord again. Let me see what the Lord will speak to me," verse 19. Then the Lord said, "Go on then. Go on and go." And so Balaam arose in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the leaders of Moab. Balaam not do that day? He didn't seek out why the Lord said no the first time, because he didn't want to know. He already knew what God's will was. The problem Balaam had was with God's will. As I said last week, people ask God for things and they get a feeling that they want to do something. And they come to the conclusion that if they want to do it, God wants them to do it. They ask God enough to where they finally get a sense or a feeling that God would let them do it. And then they start attributing their decision to God. I used the illustration last week of a young woman who's a Christian, who finds a young man who is very appealing to her, and he's lost, and yet she really wants to marry him. And so she asks the Lord, What can I do, Lord? What should I do? Should I marry this man?" When the Lord has already told her she cannot. many women come to the point where they pray about it, and God in their minds tells them that they can marry this man as a special exception to the rule. So they do, in disobedience, and then they reap a lifetime of agony from it. The Lord doesn't go against his word. We do. So Balaam, once he got the okay in verse 20, off he goes. He's a happy guy now. He's going to get some money, prestige, honor. So that's when the angel of the Lord shows up. Verse 22, God was angry because he was gone. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. Riding his donkey and his two servants were with him. This looks like it's a God changing his mind thing, but this is clearly a God not changing his mind thing. God said, you can't curse these people. I blessed them. So here he's off to curse the people for his own advancement. The donkey at this point is smarter than Balaam. In Jude verse 10, when Jude is speaking of the opposers of moral truth and biblical truth, these false prophets, he describes them in this way. He compares them to animals. Jude verse 10, these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals, by these things they are destroyed. They act like they are driven by instinct, which animals, we attribute to them instinct. They do not then turn from their instinct. We have a lot of instincts that are against the scriptures by the fall. These men follow those by instinct, like a dumb animal. An animal will do things that the lowest, and some animals are dumber than others, the lowest animals will do some things that just are crazy. But they're animals. And when Jude compares them to animals, he's saying that they're not acting like they're in the image of God. They're just brute beasts. So this animal, this donkey, shouldn't know more about the right thing and should not have more knowledge of God than Balaam. But he does. Verse 23, Balaam struck the donkey because he turned out into the field, out of the way of the angel of the Lord. In verse 24, the angel of the Lord blocked him off, and the donkey rammed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he popped her again. And then they went a little farther, and it was a place where there was just no way to go left or right. The donkey just lay down under Balaam. So Balaam went after it again, smacking it. And that's when that miraculous thing happened, when the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? That's an amazing thing. Because what the Lord is doing here is illustrating the fact that Balaam is moving on the basis of animal instincts. He's doing stuff that just is an animal instinct. Why don't we trust dogs around roads? We don't want dogs around roads because dogs don't reason. It takes humans a while to know about crossing a road. They just by instinct chase a car by instinct, run across the road without looking. So God is showing that this donkey, in seeing the angel of the Lord and knowing that the way is barred and he should not go that way, he's smarter than Balaam. Balaam is not a righteous man. The fact that he has this gift is a really mystery, that he communicates to God. God can do whatever he wants to do, and he does. But the donkey could see the angel of the Lord, and Balaam could not. So when the donkey opens his mouth and asks the question, the biggest miracle, as I've said before, is that Balaam answers. Is that going to be your response if your animals around the house one day just strike up a conversation with you? If you have a horse coming around there and at the fence, you kind of get there and look out, and the horse says, "It's a beautiful day, isn't it?" And you go, "Yes, it is. It is a nice day." Well, then that's the miracle right there. The donkey talks and begins to reason with Balaam. And here again, to Balaam's shame, is the donkey is winning the argument. Donkeys don't talk, but when they do, here in this case, with Balaam, not only is the donkey talking, she's winning. What have I done to you? In other words, the donkey's asking for a basis for the judgment that Balaam has placed upon her. And she knows math because she says it's been three times. And Balaam gives his rationale. Because you have made a mockery of me, if there had been a sword in my hand, I would have killed you by now. And then the donkey says, "Well, now wait a minute here. Have I not been your donkey, and have you not ridden me all your life to this day? And have I ever done this?" And he said, "No." She's winning the argument. "Why do you think I'm doing it now? Do you think I'm just all of a sudden doing this? Are you not able to think below that?" Verse 31, "The Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed all the way to the ground." Verse 32, "The angel of the Lord said to him, 'Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out as an adversary against your way, because your way was contrary to me. But the donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, I would utterly have killed you just now and let her live.'" Balaam says to the donkey, "If I'd had a sword, you'd be dead now." And the Lord said, "If you didn't," the angel of the Lord says, "If you didn't have a donkey, you'd be dead by now. If she'd not turned aside from the way." And I would have let her live. You're mad at her, you're going to kill her. I'm mad at you. I would kill her and let her go. Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know that you were standing in the way against me. Now then, if it is displeasing to you, I will turn back." Even here, he's not a changed man. Modern day, all kids have phones. They're at the store. They're by the candy at the store. Mom's at home. "Mom, I'd love to have this candy here. I mean, it just smells so good. And I've been so hungry. My stomach is empty. It's growling." People looked at me over there a while ago. I walked over there, and my stomach was growling. And I'm afraid they're going to think that I'm not being fed. But now, if you want me to, I'll just walk away from this candy and just come on home and try to live until I get there. Well, you know. I'll go ahead. But if you had a command, don't go to a place. Don't be in a place. Don't proceed toward a place. I still don't think, again, we're not told every little thing that happened. We're told the central core part of it. if it is displeasing to you, I will turn back. The Lord has already made it clear it's displeasing to him. Balaam is he is of such corrupt mind. He is so dominated and overcome by evil in his intentions that he just keeps on hoping that he could go do this. And the Lord, of course, had already told him to go, not by his will, but by his sense of, you know, judging what he was doing. And his Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but you shall speak only the words I tell you. That's what he said before. Nothing's different in that. So Balaam went along with the leaders of Balak. Balaam is, again, one of these people who are characteristic of those who want their own will but want God's cover over it. They want to place God's covering over their will. You know, God led me to do this. God led me to leave this church and not reconcile with this person at the church that I'm angry with. God told me to do that, although God tells us to do the opposite in the scriptures. God told me to marry this man, although he's lost, although God tells you the opposite in the scriptures. It's over and over. It happens every day, professing believers putting the will of God, mark, cover on their own will. Even if God has clearly said he is not in it, he does not want it, you can't put it on him. It is a shameful thing. You can't bring the scriptures to people anymore who claim to be Christians. You can't bring scriptures. You can't bring a list of scriptures. You can't bring a bunch of words from the Bible that tells a professing believer, this is the will of God about this. You can't do this. They don't take it. They don't accept it. And I've done it. I've even had people use verses back to justify what they're doing. This was years and years ago now. Justify what they're doing, and the verse they used and showed me was a verse that condemned what they were doing. And they just could not. It's very dangerous because we're able to convince ourselves of a lot of things very easily when we want them to be true. And you know, if you hear about people, if you hear politics, again, I don't read politics news anymore. I don't listen to it. I just don't care. I'm tired of it. It's been years since I've... But I do read certain websites about news, and I don't read a liberal slant. I read those that have more of a conservative view of it. And, you know, the assumption from the other side is that everything that others disagree with them on, say we have a certain way and they have a certain way, they think we're terrorists if we don't agree with them, or racists, or homophobes, or hateful. Just, it's a all or nothing thing. You mean you don't believe that men should give birth to babies? You terrorist. It's just that way. It's a bit that extreme. And that's why it's important. We're made in the image of God. But there's a powerful corruption of it in the fall. And unless men return, that corruption gets more and more marked as something awful. And more people are hurt. There's been a rash lately of supposed Christian people coming out denying their faith, that wrote books for youth and such. Now they're saying, I'm never a Christian, and coming out against that. Well, they continue to do evil because of their innate brute sense. Much like Balaam, they're still making profit by by their evil deeds. We'll stop there. Any comments you have? Questions?